This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden and the First Lady hosting Kenya's President Ruto and his wife at a state dinner tonight.
We share a strong respect for the history of the that connects us together.
Mr. Biden toasting Ruto, touting their shared beliefs in freedom, democracy, and equality. Former President Trump held a rally in New York's South Bronx, vowing to flip the traditionally Democratic area Republican this fall. Fulton County, Georgia DA Fani Willis is appealing a ruling which dismissed some of the counts in the Georgia election interference case against Mr. Trump and his co-defendants. The president of Rutgers University answering a House committee's questions about campus protest policies.
We made a choice. That choice was to engage our students through dialogue as a first option instead of police action.
Jonathan Holloway answering questions for the committee. Stocks closed lower today, the Dow down 600 points plus. This is ABC News. Fallout over the arrest of top golfer Scottie Scheffler.
Louisville's police chief Jacqueline Wynn Villarroel announcing the officer involved in the arrest of PGA golfer Scottie Scheffler last Friday is being disciplined for failing to turn on his body camera at the time, leaving only dash cam and a traffic cam video for release instead.
We understand the seriousness of the failure to capture this interaction.
Police say Scheffler, driving into the Valhalla Golf Club for the PGA tournament, ignored police instructions and allegedly dragged an officer with his car. Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg noting an unrelated deadly accident just steps away.
That tragic death led to a series of very unfortunate events.
Derek Dennis, ABC News.
NASA will attempt to launch the first astronaut crewed flight above Boeing's Starliner June 1st. Starliner has been delayed a number of times. The CDC is investigating a multi-state outbreak of salmonella that's been linked to backyard poultry. Over 100 illnesses and 33 hospitalizations have been reported in 29 states. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin delegates and alternates to the Republican National Convention include two people who served as fake electors in 2020. Pam Travis and Bob Spindell signed documents to cast Wisconsin's electoral votes for Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden had won. Hunters and fishers in Wisconsin are keeping a close eye on work on the 2024 federal farm bill. Aaron Sandquist with Pheasants Forever says the bill needs strong private land conservation protection.
We have a lot of needs in states like Minnesota and Wisconsin, particularly in the prairie areas, and private land habitat provided by the Farm Bill, like CRP, is critically important.
Advocates say 40 million people would lose access to hunting and fishing opportunities without the Conservation Reserve program. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Giannis named to the All-NBA team. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the sixth straight time, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been named to the All-NBA first team. He became the first player this year in NBA history to average 30 points a game while shooting 60% from the field. Baseball last night in Miami, the Brewers losing 1-0 to the Marlins. The crew headed to Boston today to open a series against the Red Sox tomorrow night. NFL Packers' first week of OTA practices wrapping up. Two players now recovering from surgery after suffering torn pectoral muscles. muscles while lifting in the team's weight facility, including tight end Tucker Kraft and starting right tackle Zach Tom. Their first-round draft pick rookie Josh Morgan has been lining up at right tackle in place of Zach Tom. I asked Matt LaFleur about Tom's status.
Yeah, that was a pec injury and, you know, just an unfortunate coincidence. But again, no long-term concern. He will be a guy that we anticipate back for camp.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy and warm, lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers and storms and a high near 70. Sunny in mid-70s Saturday, more rain and only mid-60s Sunday. Starting sunny on Monday, then some clouds and maybe a shower in the afternoon. High, low 70s. Right now it's 73.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Well, tomorrow I want you to take a half a day off and celebrate with the family over here at Chujunk. It's a very special day coming up.
Yes, it is. It's going to be your birthday.
Yeah.
I would love to. You know, I'll be there.
Right on, right on. The only thing that I wish it was more, my birthday was closer to Halloween, because I remember Halloween and our people that watch the show on Facebook and YouTube, you dressed up as me, and it was crazy. It was awesome.
I know. We could have been twins. I could have been your Gemini twin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got a big show here. We got Robert Lilligren coming up soon. And then we also have Governor Evers with his weekly check-in. And then we have, who else do we have? Haley, I missed the meeting before the show.
That's okay. We're going to have Rachel Karshunk back on with us, who is the Deputy Executive Officer of Strong Hearts Native Helpline.
We love Strong Hearts. We love that whole concept and the way they help Native people all across Turtle Island. So it'll be great to touch base with her. Hey, mosey lawn means cut the grass in French.
I didn't know that.
Mosey lawn, cut the grass. Okay, another dad joke that went over your head. Hey, why don't we take a listen to our governor from Wisconsin, the great state of Wisconsin, and thank goodness we have him here in Wisconsin, Governor Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. I'm excited this week to be traveling across Wisconsin celebrating National Travel and Tourism Week. Here in Wisconsin, we've got something for everybody, from the shores of Lake Superior to the stages at Summerfest. Wisconsin tourism industry is a big deal, folks. It's more than a $20 billion industry that supports over 100,000 jobs statewide. I'm proud of our work to support travel and tourism to bolster our state and local economies, like our investments to help expand the National Railroad Museum in Ashwaubenon and a new sports and convention center in Janesville. I'm also glad our last budget increased tourism support with about $34 million over the next 2 years to help raise Wisconsin's profile nationwide as a premier business, cultural, and recreational destination. This also included the largest increase in state history in marketing and advertising funds for the Department of Tourism to support a competitive marketing campaign to keep pace with and outpace our neighboring states. Folks, the success of Wisconsin's tourism industry is a testament to the hardworking business owners, service workers, and marketing partners across the state who always go above and beyond to showcase the best we have to offer. And thanks in large part to them, we have a lot to celebrate during National Travel and Tourism Week here in Wisconsin. From the Ice Age Trail officially being designated a national park and the NFL draft coming to Wisconsin in 2025, to the new Borealis train connecting St. Paul to Chicago, we're doing big things here in the Badger State. So head to travelwisconsin.com to find your next Wisconsin adventure. Happy National Travel and Tourism Week, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I can't wait to take that train from the St. Paul to Chicago.
I know.
Really cool.
Yeah, me too. I have yet to be to Chicago, so maybe this will be my mode of transportation.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm there too much. I'm on every like 3 months I have to be there, and I know they have that big bean. Hey, we have Robert Lilligren on, and I know Robert's traveling. Kind of sounds like he's traveling in a spaceship right now, but it's great to talk to Robert. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, Robert.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Haley. Yeah, I've never done it from my car before, so I'm not sure how the sound is. I apologize.
No, it sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good, and we can understand you, so that's great. It's great for you to check in. We haven't talked to you in a little bit. So did you happen to hear Governor Evers?
I could hear him. I apologize. I heard a bit. And I heard you and Haley talking about the exciting new train from St. Paul to Chicago, from the Twin Cities to Chicago, which I think is a really exciting development for tourism and travel.
Yeah, tourism, too, and that's what the governor talked about. And I know you're really involved in Minneapolis with tourism. Maybe you can chime in a little bit about what's happening there.
Well, yeah, so I serve on our Convention and Visitors Association board. It's called Meet Minneapolis. I'm actually chairing it this year. I'm the first Native chair in the history of the organization, which I'm kind of proud of. And there's just a lot going on. And, of course, the big hot thing are our Timberwolves, our pro basketball team. The Wolves are back, and we've got this great new tourism slogan that has emerged from Ant-Man, a Timberwolves player. And he told Charles Barkley to bring your ass to Minnesota and to Minneapolis.
Yeah, I was just sad. I was just at Rebel Inc. where we get our T-shirts done, and that was a free plug, Rebel Inc., so give me a discount. And they had hats and T-shirts out there that said that on their hats, and people were walking
in. I love
it. Them up. Yeah.
I love it. And even our institutions picked it up, our State Tourism Bureau, our State Fair. I mean, these are old school institutions, and everyone's using Bring Your Ass. Bring your ass to Minnesota, bring your ass to Minneapolis.
Exactly. And eat. There's food plenty. We know that. Hey, we got a couple minutes left in this segment here, and I stopped at Powwow Grounds, which means I stop at All My Relations Arts at 1414 East Franklin Avenue. There's an alternative artist talk with Frank that's coming up.
Right, yeah. This show is so powerful. I would encourage people to come and see it. Frank Buffalo Hyde is an artist, and he really has a perspective. He has some humor. He has some gore. But it really is powerful. And I think, Haley, do you have the date for the artist talk? I know it's coming up.
Yeah, that'll be Friday, May 31st from 5 to 7.
Great. If folks can make it, I'd encourage them to come down to All My Relations Arts. It's right in our little yellow building where Powwow Grounds coffee shop is, our offices, NACTI offices, right on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, Robert, we just voiced some ads for the big thing, the Big Four Sisters Market, big grand opening. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and Haley, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's June 6th, the opening, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so our organization works in the food sovereignty realm. Our two big signature projects are our Four Sisters Urban Farm and our Four Sisters Farmers Market, which lifts up native foods, native vendors, predominantly, and sometimes 100% women vendors. It's every Thursday from 11 to 3, right there on Franklin Avenue, East Franklin, the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And it's a happening place.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Hey, Robert, we're going to take a quick break here and then get back to you. This is Native Roots Radio and with Robert Lilligren, and we'll be right back. The CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. Ho-wa!
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program or TAP is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have Robert Lilligren online here, and he's driving his iron pony somewhere, and we're just blessed to have him on the show. And let's talk a little bit. These storms come here, and we got like heavy duty things happening here with the humidity and the weather here and the global warming, but a Native American Community Development Institute rescheduled their open house.
Oh, yeah. We were kind of disappointed, but with the predictions of the really severe weather, it was the responsible thing to do. But here in Minnesota, it's American Indian Month. And in the Twin Cities, a lot of the Native orgs hold open houses. And they feed the community. They often have resource sort of tables and things like that. And it's just a really cool way of coming together. And so at NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, ours is kind of more just a party. We have music, we have band, we have good food, a little light on the resources, But it's a good time. Consequently, people love coming to our open house. And the folks are really disappointed that we had to cancel it on Tuesday because of the weather. But we've rescheduled it. We're going to do it on July 11th, along with the Four Sisters Farmers Market. We're going to block off the street. We'll get a street permit. It's going to be bigger and even better. So we're looking forward to welcoming the community on July 11th.
Wow, I'm excited to hear that. I got to definitely, I know years ago, Open Streets happening on Franklin Avenue up by All My Relations Art Gallery and Powwow Grounds, and that was fabulous.
That was fabulous, but I'll tell you, it was so resource intensive. We loved being a part of it. Open Streets is when they block the streets off from vehicle traffic, and it's just bikes and pedestrians, and businesses all come out and vend in the street, and cultural organizations. But the city of Minneapolis stepped back some of its support for the event, and we just figured we just couldn't do it again. So this will be our little mini Open Streets.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying. That's really cool. It's a great vibe over there. And especially, you know, I was thinking of, too, how many people showed up for the opening of the Indian Center there on Franklin Avenue, just a half a block down from you guys. It was just amazing seeing all those people and people I haven't seen in so long.
Right. That was kind of a theme of the day. So our Indian Center, which has been around since 1972, and it really needed a facelift and some improvement. And so Mary Lagarde, the director there, raised $33 million, 32.5, to rebuild it or redo it and expand it. And it just opened on May 1st, and it was amazing. And I ran into so many people I haven't seen for a long time. It was kind of the theme of the day.
Yeah, it was, definitely, along with people we see quite a bit. There was so many people. It was just a great vibe. And what with that opening, it really opens up more of Franklin Avenue, you know, the Native corridor, and more people coming and going and checking it out. I know there's things happening there. And I remember a lot, and I'll be doing it again when I'm on Franklin, is going back and forth, you know, to Powwow Grounds and back to the Indian Center.
Yep. Strolling the avenue.
Yep, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and it's so good to have native destinations to do that. And then, of course, on May 1st, the Indian Center held a huge powwow and celebration that was packed. Mm-hmm. And then this last weekend, my tribe, White Earth, had an urban Indian powwow, their first ever, first annual. And that was really nice there in the newly remodeled Indian Center.
Yeah. So, I mean, when people do well, people do well. And, you know, and that's what I really like, you know, the old Paul Wellstone saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. We all do better. We all do better. And what was really encouraging at the White Earth Urban powwow was just to see how many people from different tribes came, not just to participate, but to support it. Doing the administrative stuff, registering people, keeping the show going. And then there was an incredibly dedicated planning group that put the whole thing together. So very grateful, Chimigwech, to the community members who really stepped up.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is community. And speaking of which, we have an election coming up, and I know Native American Community Development Institute really supports make voting a tradition. And I wish I would have made that up. That's such a great saying.
It is great. Earlier, NACDI, make voting a tradition, MVAT, as we call it internally, has been around for, it must be almost 10 years. And an earlier NACDI employee, Ashley Fairbanks, generated the idea, generated the name, and it has really caught on. And like we do with a lot of our sort of branded stuff at NACDI, we don't copyright it or take proprietary rights because we want other people to pick this stuff up and go with it. So with Make Voting a Tradition, that's an example of that. And I got to tell you, Ash, I got to tell you, Robert and Haley, we have interest of that statewide, nationally, and even internationally. It's viewed as such a successful example. It's multi-generational approach to engaging Native people, not just in voting, but in politics and policy in general, and it's been phenomenally successful.
Right, definitely. And I want to kind of switch gears here, Robert. And I know we have never really talked about this, but the scary stuff that the Republicans are bringing up, and I've heard about it, but now I've been kind of reading and studying a little more the last couple of weeks about the 2025. Are you familiar with that doctrine from the Republicans?
Oh, yeah, the policy initiative that they're hoping to generate in 2025. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Scary stuff,
you know, and talk about going backwards. And again, you know, that's why making voting a tradition and getting boots on the ground and getting people activated about what's going on in this election. And, you know, we had our friend on Arvina yesterday, and we talk about Arvina Martin, and we talk about how, you know, just the news, the media is just worried about clicks. They don't care if they're putting out new correct information at all. So it's really great that you're on and that we can do this on Civic Media and also AM 950 across Turtle Island here. So I know we always talk a little politics, but I just want to give you a big shout out on that, because people listen for different reasons of the show, but I know we talk a lot of politics when you and I are talking.
Right, and I appreciate the platform. I appreciate all you do, Robert, all you do, Haley, to support this kind of conversation. Of course, at NACTI, we're a nonprofit. We're nonpartisan. You know, mm-hmm. we can't tell people who to vote for, but we can certainly support them getting involved. People have to make their own decisions. We're involved in a couple of interesting initiatives right now where we've done research or are doing research to try to determine what kinds of messages get Native people to vote. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what we're doing is around environmental, water protection and things. But we've been, over the last few election cycles, involved in partnerships both nationally and locally about generating and testing these messages. Mm-hmm. We get to use our relationships with our artists, who generate graphic images, and it's so good to get this data about our community. And mm-hmm. you know, we're kind of at times a data poor community, you know, and that doesn't serve us very well. And so they get these real numbers about what's motivating people into voting booths. It's really rewarding.
Yeah, that's great. And we got to get our young ones out there, because we've talked about this before, Robert, is when you and I voted for president, the first election I voted was 1980, and I haven't stopped mm-hmm. voting since. So if we get young ones to vote right away, they're more likely to vote the rest of their lives.
That's exactly right. And now in Minnesota, you can register 17-year-olds. So they're ready to go when they vote. We focus on 16 and 17-year-olds who are entering voting ages, and then elders as well, because mm-hmm. you know how our families work. If your auntie tells you to go vote, you go vote, right?
That's right. So
we're focusing on, and then really focusing on women who mm-hmm. head a lot of the households. That's our focus for 2024. 17-year-olds, elders, and women.
That's a great angle, I think, too, to motivate our young ones, is get those aunties on them. That's a good angle.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, we got an auntie help us, as people in this community know, Jolene Jones. She's our lead organizer, and she is our secret weapon in engaging Native folks. But, yeah.
Definitely.
It's exciting work.
Well, we got like 30 seconds left, Robert. What do you have to say here in the last 30 seconds? I give you the Native Roots Radio floor or mic.
Oh my gosh, I appreciate it. Well, just to say, you know, I'm just getting back into the city. I was out at the Sovereign Nation of the Lower Sioux for a fascinating meeting of our statewide Minnesota Indian Affairs Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden and the First Lady hosting Kenya's President Ruto and his wife at a state dinner tonight.
We share a strong respect for the history of the
that connects us together.
Mr. Biden toasting Ruto, touting their shared beliefs in freedom, democracy, and equality. Former President Trump held a rally in New York's South Bronx, vowing to flip the traditionally Democratic area Republican this fall. Fulton County, Georgia DA Fani Willis is appealing a ruling which dismissed some of the counts in the Georgia election interference case against Mr. Trump and his co-defendants. The president of Rutgers University answering a House committee's questions about campus protest policies.
We made a choice. That choice was to engage our students through dialogue as a first option instead of police action.
Jonathan Holloway answering questions for the committee. Stocks close lower today, the Dow down 600 points plus. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least six tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin Tuesday night, as far west as Cochrane and as far east as Kaukauna, with the strongest in Unity at 105 miles an hour. They had to cancel school in Madison because of so many downed trees and power lines. About 50,000 homes and businesses across Wisconsin lost power. Police in Waukesha are giving a tent community until the end of next week to pack up and leave. Police specialist Jason Fink says they're not targeting people because of their homelessness.
But it can lead into certain crimes, like if someone is trespassing or littering or loitering or being disorderly, and we get a call from someone in the community for us to go and address those situations.
The land they're on is owned by an out-of-state corporation that only recently learned the people were living there. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. It's finally here. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, opens this weekend in what is expected to be a big one for the summer box office. Anna Joy Taylor plays the role of Furiosa in the George Miller-directed follow-up to 2015's Mad Max Fury Road. Furiosa is at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. Family-friendly Garfield opens this weekend in the U.S. after having already grossed $50 million overseas. Reviews are just so-so, but audiences approve. If you're looking for a critic's darling, check out Richard Linklater's new film, Hitman, starring Glenn Powell. The film is at 98% on the tomato meter. If you don't feel like leaving home, Dune 2 is available to stream on Max, and other early summer hits are available to stream like Challengers, The Fall Guy, and Anne Hathaway's The Idea of You. Have fun at the movies and have a safe weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy and warm, lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers and storms and a high near 70. Sunny in mid-70s Saturday, more rain and only mid-60s Sunday. Starting sunny on Monday, then some clouds and maybe a shower in the afternoon, high low 70s. It's 71 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by U.S. Supreme Court expert and attorney Daniel Cotter. I'll also be joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter James Causey. What is up with student-teacher affairs?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline, safe, confidential, anonymous, 24/7.
Hey, I want to introduce our guest, Rachel Carr Schrunk, Deputy Executive Officer of Strong Hearts Native Helpline. And we're going to talk a little bit about Strong Hearts and what they do. And we can't talk enough about what's happening with Strong Hearts. Again, welcome, Rachel.
Hi, guys. So happy to be back here. And yeah, I'm excited to chat some more.
Well, one of the things that we kind of touched on, and I'd like to bring back a little bit, is, you know, the connection between domestic violence and sexual violence with MMIR. And I know that's it's a hot button, but it's something that we really need to kind of talk about and vet out for our listeners and ourselves.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of conversation around both of these issues kind of separately sometimes, because we don't really have great statistics on the actual literal connection between domestic violence and sexual violence and MMIR. But we know that they coexist, and there's a number of reasons of why they coexist, right? You know, we've got systemic racism, racist assumptions around Native people, and, you know, if maybe a Native person goes missing, there's that often racist assumption that, oh, well, they're just off partying or they're just off drinking, right? And then, you know, you've got, we know our statistics on violence in Indian country, right? You can't talk about MMIR without kind of knowing those statistics. And some of those statistics come right from the National Institute of Justice, and they say more than 4 in 5 American Indian and Alaska Native adults experience violence, intimate partner violence, and over half of all Native women experience sexual violence in their lifetime. So we know we have these high rates of violence, right? And then when you think of the other issues that are unique to American Indian or Alaska Native people, we think about our lack of criminal jurisdiction that exists in Indian country when a non-Native perpetrator uses violence or commits a crime, and our tribes are unable to hold that offender accountable, right? So there's those kind of all intersecting issues that impact and, lead to the high incidence of MMIR.
Yeah. You know, one of the things you just mentioned there too, and we've talked about the great work of Strong Hearts, is that, you know, one of the statistics you were talking about is, like, you know, how it's kind of affects the family, 4 out of 5, I believe you said. And what's great about Strong Hearts is that you can be anonymous, you know, and we joke about this in my tribe and my nation, but this is a real thing. We're all related. So you get that moccasin, you get afraid of that moccasin highway or smoke signals, and you want to talk freely, and you feel like you can't.
Sure, absolutely. And that's the language that we use at Strong Hearts. We talk about everyone who calls us as our relative. And while we recognize that we are all related, and we have these, individual experiences of being Indigenous people, we also recognize how difficult it may be for someone to call their local or their own tribe's program, right? For a number of reasons. They don't want, there's stigma associated with victimization. Maybe, you know, they're someone in the community that would feel like they would lose some sort of respect if they were seeking services for one, you know, being a victim, but also seeking services if there is a chance that, you know, there's a perpetrator and they're seeking some batterer's intervention services. So it, you know, the anonymous portion of our, we're anonymous for that reason, because we know our communities are small and we do really see each other all as relatives, and that has an impact on seeking services.
Yeah, definitely. And I know for Ho-Chunk, we were down to 700 people at one time and we're at 10,000. So I literally am, and Haley and I are literally related to everybody.
Yeah. I hear you. I mean, I cannot go to my tribal health clinic without seeing a literal relative. And then, of course, people that I, you know, count as my relatives that aren't maybe biological relatives, but they're still my aunties, still my uncles. So yeah, that, I mean, that's a, I think that is true for a lot of our tribal communities.
Well, let's get a little deeper here too. I want to know, you know, I just touched a little bit on, you know, the anonymous portion, but what role does Strong Hearts play? And I know the expansion over 7 years, and it always warms my heart when I think about that, because we all started at the same time. Native Roots Radio basically started around the same time, and your growth has been phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're young. We're a young organization, and we have a lot of room to still grow. But, you know, what I think I'm most proud of is that all of our advocates on the lines, 100% of them are Native American, right? So we have that, just that experience of being an Indigenous person. And I look at it because it's such a spectrum, right? Everyone kind of understands their Indigenous identities in different ways and maybe comes into that identity in different ways and at different times. And I think that really speaks to our advocates and just having that spectrum of identity for people to connect with. And then, you know, our advocates are trained and have, you know, extensive training in historical trauma and intergenerational trauma, jurisdictional issues, all of these things that make it unique as a survivor of violence, as an Indigenous person. It's a really unique experience. And our advocates are, one, they're trained in it, and often there's the lived experience, right, of being an Indigenous person. I think, you know, when we think about Indigenous identity, we think about representation and how important that is for everything, right? For government, for leadership, for media. It's just as important for people accessing services to go to someone who is going to, maybe they're going to have similar experiences as you. They're going to, your story is going to resonate with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've brought this up to you before too, but it's like, I was a high school teacher for 30 years, and our lieutenant governor is Native American here in Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan. And whenever I'd see her, I'd say thank you, because my students are able to see somebody look like them in a high office. And I think that's what we're kind of talking about too, is that we have Native Americans picking up the helpline phone and that do know, that aren't, that don't need to be trained in as the the caller training in and saying, this is what we do, not that, or we can't do this. And, you know, Haley, I'm wondering if you don't mind, because I forget here, is to just pop up the number and the website real quick. And if you have anything else to say too, Haley.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pinagigi. The number for Strong Hearts Native Helpline is 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or you can chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Yeah. You have anything to add, Haley? I know I was told a long, long time ago by an advocate that at a powwow, you said you look at one out of three people that are dancing out there and they've been sexually abused. And that kind of floored me. When I heard those statistics.
Yeah, well, it's definitely true. And like, I mean, I'll be honest. Well, we'll be honest here all week, I guess. But, you know, I'm one of those numbers. And I think like going through therapy and reaching out for support. And in my experience, you know, I've worked with a cultural Native representative person and also a non-Native person. And I can clearly see the differences in between care and just like the support. And, you know, it is like working with a non-Native person, you kind of have to explain like, well, you know, it's more than just me experiencing this, because it's, you know, my aunties or my grandma, my great grandma also went through the same thing. So it's really just a lot more than what I'm going through.
Yeah. Good words.
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head there. It's just when Native folks have to, victims, survivors have to, you know, explain that kind of stuff that just is kind of innate to our Indigenous advocates, that really puts a hardship on them. And honestly, you know, there is a lack of trust in a lot of these non-Native systems for many good reasons, and I think we don't even have time to discuss all of those reasons, but there's that lack of trust. So, you know, our advocates are you know, all Indigenous, all Native American, you know, are ready to listen, to hear survivors, you know, to offer any kind of resources that are exist in our database, and just to be, you know, a relative, to listen and hear their stories.
Yeah, really a big peeny geegy, Haley. I didn't mean to put you out on the spot like that, but I know
it's
cool that, you know, our women talk to each other about these things. And I think this is a great platform too. So again, peeny geegy, Haley.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, just being honest and, you know, like, I think that's a great example of like, it can happen to anyone and it can happen to people, you know, and, you know, just really more Native women than you would think.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I don't know, and I don't want to get too deep in this because it's a political statement, and is that I feel like right now at this time in history, we kind of have, we're taking a few steps back as a country, and I want to make sure that we amplify this and that these things are real. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. I hear people still these days blaming victims, and at Stronghearts, you know, there's a solution there. And I always want to bring this up, Rachel, too, about the animals, because I can't, some people have to stay, think they have to stay because they got a pet there, and that's used as a pawn a lot of times by the partner or Absolutely. The perpetrator.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of tactics that you know, perpetrators use to continue that, the use of violence, and to continue that power and control, to keep a survivor, you know, in line and in the home or in that relationship, right? And so our advocates they're trained in all of those tactics, and to kind of help survivors think through some of that and really determine, okay, this is unhealthy. This is a tactic that is used against me. And then of course, you know, we have our database that gives us information on tribal service providers, but also non-Native service providers, if there's not a tribal provider in their area, and whether or not, you know, what kind of services are available. Is there shelter? Is there transitional housing? Is there a shelter that has support for animals, things like that. So our database and our advocates are phenomenal.
Great. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Rachel, we're here with Stronghearts, and we'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Hey, we have our guest, Rachel Carr-Shunk, Deputy Executive Officer of Strong Hearts Native Helpline. And Rachel, I was hurrying you up there at the break, but I think that's really important what you had to say. I'm wondering if you could amplify that again about the way Strong Hearts can help you maneuver through things, because that was really, and I didn't want to hurry if we were coming to a commercial break.
No worries.
I wonder if you could bring that up again.
Yeah, you know, our advocates, like I said, are trained in all of the tactics that are involved in abusive relationships. So they're able to really talk through some of the things that survivors are willing to share and raise those, you know, address those tactics and say, and just really provide that kind of validation, right? So many times survivors will call in and they'll say, I don't know if this is really, I'm not being physically abused. I've never been physically touched, but, you know, once they start to talk out some of those other tactics that are often used in abusive relationships, they start to realize, okay, yeah, this is an abusive relationship. And, you know, and then they can start safety planning, because our advocates are trained in providing safety planning in all sorts of situations, whether, you know, if children are involved, if they're, you know, what place in the house they're in, if they're, you know, a safety at work, safety in all situations. And then, of course, you know, we have access to our provider database, which includes Native and non-Native providers that can do some more, you know, direct services that survivors often need when they are ready to either leave the relationship or, you know, make that determination on their own of whether or not that's something they're ready and willing to do.
Yeah, it's hard to see when you're in the middle of the fire. And I got a weird story I want to tell you. My wife and I are addicted to, what is that travel show that we're watching? Teams travel all over the country, and they go in couples or in pairs. And it's really bizarre, because as a person outside watching this show, you can see abusive couples that aren't treating each other well. And it's being amplified on national television. And it's just mind-blowing, because I think those people that are in it don't see it like we do.
Right. Yeah. No, you know, and that's something I think, and I say this all the time, once an advocate, always an advocate, because once you start to understand the tactics of power and control, you start to see it in a lot of places. And I think that's really important for people to know and talk about, right? And there are, you know, not every unhealthy behavior automatically puts you into, you know, you're an abusive person and things like that. But it really is important to know some of those signs of unhealthy and healthy relationship or behaviors. And, you know, when it starts to kind of trend towards an abusive relationship, and what are some of the things that people can do to one, take accountability for their actions if they are using abusive behaviors, and then two, seek safety if they are, you know, if someone's being exposed to those behaviors.
Is there anything a person that witnesses, and that's kind of what I was talking about too when we watched that show, is there anything that they can do? Because I know when it comes to domestic things, it's really hard to get into the middle, so to speak. And I know that's for police especially, that's a tricky situation, because both partners may even turn on the people mm-hmm. trying to help them.
Absolutely. And that's something I should have said earlier too, is if you are in that helper situation, if you're a relative of someone that's being, you know, experiencing abuse, or a friend or a neighbor, you can call into our helpline as well and just kind of talk it out and, you know, see, you know, are your spidey senses working, mm-hmm. right? Are you really seeing this and really feeling this? And our advocates can talk through that with you and also give you some pointers and guidance on how to be a supportive person, right? And mm-hmm. It's tricky. It's not an easy situation. It's not always black and white, yes or no, this is how it's going to be. You know, it really does take talking through with our advocates and thinking of ways to be supportive to our relatives who are experiencing violence and harm.
Yeah, that show is an amazing race. I couldn't think of the name, but Wendy and I are, I think, are addicted to that show because now we're going backwards and watching 2022 when COVID hit. And I guess that's another show, but it's weird because you can spot it, you know, and it's hard to spot when you're amongst or when you're in it and you can see that.
You know, and I think that if we have these conversations with our family, especially with our children, especially when they're starting to have relationships and have those conversations about some of these issues that are, you know, red flags or they're trending towards unhealthy, I think that is really going to help our communities prevent these high rates of violence that we have, because for so long, it's been our normal because it hasn't been talked about. There hasn't been any kind of, we've always been in a response mode instead of like a prevent mode, right? We're always responding to the violence. But until we start having these really honest conversations and you know, batterers taking accountability and systems, you know, willing to accept and not re-victimize our survivors, you know, that's how we're going to move towards reducing those rates and eliminating those rates.
Wow. Well said. I just want to say to any males listening, especially our native males out there, is that we do have to treat teach our young boys how to treat people and women, especially because the colonized way is to do all this abuse stuff. And women lead the way in every activity that we've had over the last 500 years and probably 10,000 years. And if you don't feel that way about women, you are definitely colonized and you have not, and you need to be decolonized, because that isn't the way Native Americans did in the past treat their women. They revered their women. Even in the 60s and 70s, we talked like Madonna Thunderhawk, who was a big OG back then, the women led the way. The men were just there. The women did all the work and led the way. And so when we tell stories like that to our young boys, because they're true stories, and put things in a good perspective, indigenous perspective.
Absolutely. You know, we talk a lot about violence is not our way of life. It's not our tradition. And that really is a foundational belief for Strong Hearts and for our advocates that, you know, this is not the way that we should be living. And, you know, we have mutual respect for every person, every living being, our Mother Earth, or everything. Right. So, I definitely agree with that. And I think our advocates are all on the same page, and, you know, we take calls from, like I said, you know, people that are experiencing abuse, people who may be using abusive behaviors or tactics, helpers, and, you know, men, women, two-spirit people. We are accepting calls from anyone, and we're always ready to talk and kind of talk through some of these issues and refer out if that's something that the survivor or the folks calling need.
Wow. Rachel Carr Shunk, thank you so much, Big Peeny Geegee, for coming on. And it's always a great reminder. Our discussions are really important year round, and I really appreciate you coming on. Maybe Haley, we could just shoot out for our listening audience the website and the phone number real quick.
Yeah, 1-844-7-NATIVE or 1-844-762-8483, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Big Peeny Geegee, thank you, Rachel.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am your host for today, and we welcome guests Matthew Filipovich, Esther Flonase, and we have Fancy Brian Kelly as our guest host for the first hour. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal.
Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.